something's going on with baseball pitchers. The incidence of thoracic outlet syndrome, blood clots, nerve problems is up dramatically. And that's very concerning, because blood clots are scary, strokes are scary, and I'm not sure that people are taking the problem as serious as it actually is. My name is Chris O'Leary, and since 2005, 2006, I've been studying why pitchers get hurt. I started this process for the simple reason that when I was a kid, I screwed up my shoulder, and I didn't want what happened to me to happen to my sons or to the kids that I was coaching, to the pitchers that I was coaching in particular. And that, the importance of that was driven home to me by an incident that happened, I think, in early 2006, basically the first game of my son's semi-select team. I was running the team and pitched, you know, like seven guys just to see who could pitch. Gave a bunch of guys an inning just to see who was the best pitcher. So then what happened was I asked the guy who threw the best inning, I asked him to start the next game. And his stuff was nasty. I thought he was throwing a sinker because he could just like drop the ball on the plate, but what I think actually happened was he was throwing a slider, basically turning his thumb up as he went through the release point, which is what I call a turn the doorknob slider. So when I asked him to start that game, he's like, I would, but the bump on the inside of my elbow really hurts. And that scared me, because while I knew that there were risks to pitching, I didn't know that a kid could get in trouble just throwing one inning of the first game of the season. And that scared the crap out of me. And like I said, I don't know for sure what happened, but I think what happened was he was inadvertently, or maybe deliberately, throwing a slider, and that's why his ball was able to break vertically over the plate. But think Brad Lidge's slider. But for a 10, 11-year-old kid to throw that hard and to twist that much through the release point was obviously not good for him or his arm. And I still know him. He's, you know, 24, 25, and I have talked to his dad, and his dad says he still has elbow problems to this day, you know, 14, 15 years later. I don't know for sure, again, what happened, but what probably happened is that he opened up the growth plate in his elbow, and that never completely healed. So I've been researching pitching injuries, and then in 2016, I believe, I realized, and this was towards the end of the season, and I think Matt Harvey had thoracic outlet syndrome early on in the season, and then Shoemaker with the Angels went down with thoracic outlet syndrome, and I realized that there were more guys on the major league disabled list, both at that moment and especially over the course of the entire 2016 season, than I knew had thoracic outlet syndrome in the entire history of baseball. And that was terrifying, because, you know, yes, it could have been a information problem where I wasn't aware of all the incidents of thoracic outlet syndrome. And that was true to a degree. I knew of Jeremy Bonderman and Aaron Cook were the two cases of thoracic outlet syndrome that I was aware of. It turned out that J.R. Richard, who I knew had a stroke, so that's three. so those were basically the three names. I didn't know what G.R. Richards' stroke was related to, but you know, it was a blood clot, and blood clots are related to thoracic outlet syndrome. So I think it was reasonable for me to assume that J.R. Richard was another guy to add to that list. So you had Jeremy Bonderman, Aaron Cook, and J.R. Richard. So those three guys were the only guys that I was aware of in the entire history of baseball who had had problems with thoracic outlet syndrome and blood clots. And here we are in late 2016, and you've got, I think there were two guys at the time, Shoemaker and another guy, were on the disabled list at the same time, and I think Harvey had it earlier that year. I don't remember exactly the names, but the gist is that there were as many guys on the Major League disabled list for thoracic outlet syndrome that I was aware of had had problems with thoracic outlet syndrome in the entire history of baseball. And while hockey stick incidence rates have gotten a bad name, that sure looked to me like a hockey stick. Like the incidence was going up exponentially, logarithmically. And that terrified me. Because while, knock on wood, unfortunately, my family has been free of blood clots and strokes. Although just this morning, my dad had what may have been a TIA, which is kind of a mild stroke, a stroke that resolves by itself, which got me, which is one reason why I'm thinking about this. I knew that, I mean, it's just a simple thing. You know, are blood clots good or bad? Are strokes good or bad? Well, obviously they're both bad. And what scared me was the realization that the incidence of blood clots in baseball pitchers, and I was mostly focused on the major league level, but I've since Googled around and have found that you've got what looks like an increasing incidence of blood clots in college pitchers and possibly even high school pitchers. When you're messing around with blood clots, that is a scary thing. And blood clots are not what you want to be messing around with, because blood clots are one of the primary causes of strokes. I most recently started thinking about this and thinking about this hard was last year when Danny Farquhar of the White Sox had a hemorrhage. I don't know if he actually had a stroke or not, but he had at least a hemorrhage due to an aneurysm. In all likelihood, Farquhar's problem was not related to thoracic outlet syndrome. It was just an aneurysm that blew at the same time that he was pitching. Now, that scared me because I was at that game watching and filming Justin Verlander, and I was literally 15 feet away from Farquhar photographing at the end of the dugout in Chicago. And I saw the hubbub and what was going on in the dugout and didn't understand what was going on. But that terrified me because, you know, I was so close to it, and to have a baseball player, you know, in the prime of his life, a guy who couldn't be in any better shape, having a brain hemorrhage that, again, probably was not related to thoracic outlet syndrome, but could be, to have him suffer what could have been a career-ending injury, and is certainly a career-threatening injury, that terrified me. Because for some number of years, since 2016 really, and especially more recently, I've come to realize that as the incidence of blood clots in baseball pitchers goes up, the risk of another baseball pitcher having a debilitating, disabling stroke like J.R. Richard did. And J.R. Richard's career was ended by a stroke caused by thoracic outlet syndrome. As the number of pitchers who are having problems with blood clots increases, the likelihood that a Major League Baseball pitcher, or really any baseball pitcher, you know, at least at the college level, maybe down into high school, is going to have a debilitating, devastating injury, and possibly even a life-threatening or life-ending injury, that goes up as the incidence of clots in baseball pitchers goes up. Now, baseball's largely been lucky because basically they're two, if you're talking about just thoracic outlet syndrome, and I focus on thoracic outlet syndrome, although I've defined a meta syndrome called pitching-induced coagulation syndrome, or PICS, with coagulation meaning clotting, basically, that includes thoracic outlet syndrome, but also includes other ways of generating strokes, you know, kind of elsewhere in the arterial system, the axial artery around, more closer to the, you know, the humeral head rather than by the neck. We've been largely lucky because most of the blood clots that pitchers have experienced have been on the arterial side, which basically means that the blood clots end up getting hung up in the arm, the hand, or the fingers. Now, that's not great, but it's not that big of a deal because, you know, those can be dealt with fairly easily, and fortunately, you know, thank God they're hanging up in the hand and they're not getting back into the lungs or the brain, as happened with J.R. Richard. But the scary thing is that there are some number of baseball pitchers who have had what are called pulmonary embolisms. And that's basically what happens when a clot gets hung up in the lungs. And that shuts off a portion, if not a significant portion, of the lung. And we're talking about breathing there. And if you're talking about breathing, then you can be talking about death and brain damage. The incidence of pulmonary embolisms in baseball pitchers is low, but it's not zero. And it seems like it's getting worse. Basically, all the incidence levels, at least since 2016, have gotten worse. You're seeing more clots, you're seeing more nerve problems, neuropathy, and that's actually such that I've actually considered expanding the definition of PICS to basically what I call PICANS, PICANS, which means pitching-induced coagulation and neuropathy syndrome, because we're seeing both coagulation clotting problems in baseball pitchers, but we're also seeing nerve problems, neuropathy. And that's scary. Now, I will say that it looks like this year, 2019, the incidence of blood clots in baseball pitchers is lower. But I'm not sure if that is actually a thing or just due to how injuries are being classified or reported. I don't see any evidence that the incidence of nerve problems in baseball pitchers is getting lower. And I don't see a good reason why the incidence of clotting problems in baseball pitchers should be getting any lower, because pitchers are still throwing hard. They're still employing the mechanics that, in my opinion, lead to the creation, basically the compression of arteries and nerves that leads to PICS and PICANS. I don't really see a change. I don't see a reason for why that number would change, which is why I wonder if what's going on is a fix implemented in terms of how injuries are reported rather than an actual reduction in the incidence of blood clots and neuropathy in baseball pitchers. And there's also the fact that, you know, sometimes numbers can fluctuate. They're not always going to be going up, but the general trend can be going up. This might be a better year, but I don't see any reason why that trend would organically reverse itself. Now, there may be things going on in baseball that I'm not aware of. It may be that blood thinners are being prescribed on a preventative basis, which is kind of a good thing, but also kind of scary. To think that you have to take a blood thinner in order to be able to pitch, that's a scary thought. So let me explain the mechanical problems that I think are causing this significant increase in the uptick of coagulation, clotting problems, and nerve problems in baseball pitchers. I first was alerted to kind of the general problem with what I call hyperabduction. Hyper meaning extra, and abduction meaning basically getting the elbow up. So hyperabduction means getting the elbow up too high. And I'm talking about the pitching arm side elbow. There's the very common advice that pitchers need to get their elbows up. And that is said and done in an attempt to fix what is a real problem of pitchers and just plain throwers dropping their elbows. But telling a pitcher or a thrower to get their elbow up doesn't fix the root cause of the problem. It just addresses the symptom, not the root cause. There are other things that you can teach pitchers and throwers to get that elbow up. There's a reason why that elbow is dropping. And getting the elbow up is problematic because if you look at the best pitchers, what I call the dominant and durable pitchers, when they're throwing and when their arm, especially when their arm is coming under load and their shoulders start rotating, their pitching arm side elbow and their glove side elbow, but especially the pitching arm side elbow, is just below the level of the shoulders. That's roughly 80 degrees of abduction. And that's abduction, which means that, you know, when your arm is at your side, that's 0 degrees of abduction. Well, the way it's defined is a little funny, but if your arm is at your side, like for these purposes, if your arm is at your side, we'll call that zero. And if your arm is in a kind of a throwing position with your elbow just below the level of your shoulders, that is roughly 80 degrees. If you look at Justin Verlander, Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver, some, you know, the guys that I talk about being dominant and durable, David Price is a good example of that. The problem is, and I've seen this in youth pitchers, and it's really bizarre looking. A lot of people, they're trying to deal with a low elbows problem that's caused by something else, and they may also want the pitcher to raise their arm slot. But pitchers are being told to get their elbows up, and that too often puts them in a position of hyperabduction, where the elbow gets at or even above the level of the shoulders. And I learned from a friend who's a union sheet metal worker that sheet metal workers, pipe fitters, those kinds of guys, plasterers, they have problems because they spend a lot of time working and exerting themselves with their elbows above the level of their shoulders. You know, in the position of doing the wave. That's basically it. If you're spending 8 hours a day doing the wave, you're going to cause problems, especially if you're exerting yourself as a sheet metal worker, pipe worker, plumber, plasterer, as they do. The human arm isn't designed for work to be done with the elbows above the level of the shoulder. It's not the way the shoulder is designed. The shoulder is designed for the elbow to be just below the level of the shoulders at, you know, roughly 80 degrees of abduction. And the problem with what pitchers are being taught is that in an effort to raise the pitcher's arm slot, pitchers are being told to get their elbows up. And what's worse is at the same time, they're being taught to keep their shoulder, too often they're being taught to keep their shoulders level. And that creates a real problem. If you're teaching a pitcher to keep their shoulders level, but also throw from a higher arm slot by getting their arm up or getting their elbow up, that's a recipe for real problems. Actually, one of the first pieces that I talked about in a piece called The Myth of Arm Slot is debunking that and explaining how arm slot is actually created. And the truth is that arm slot is created by tilting the shoulders. Level shoulders is the idea that every good pitcher throws with their shoulders level is just a myth. And it's a dangerous myth because if you're preaching level shoulders and high arm slots, then you're going to put pitchers in a position of hyperabduction. And that's a real problem. Because when that elbow gets up, you start, and I'm going to use a technical word, you start smushing everything within the elbow or within the shoulder. You start smushing everything together. You're compressing everything. And you can actually, and you can do the same thing when you're talking about scap loading. And when you get into these extreme scap loading, you can do the same thing. If you take the elbow too far behind the shoulders, you can compress, you can smush everything within the shoulder. And whether the elbow is going up or whether the elbow is going back, you've got that compression, the smushing of the arteries, the veins, and the nerves within the shoulder. You also compress the muscles, but that's no big deal. But when you compress arteries, that can basically reduce or stop the blood flow, which can lead to the development of clots, both on the arterial outbound side and the venous inbound side. And venous clots are the really scary ones because if you're talking about the shoulder, on the venous side, then you're right next to the heart and the lungs and the brain. So we're lucky that most of these clots are on the arterial side, so the clots get hung up in the arm and the hand and the finger. What's really scary is the venous clots, because those get sucked into the heart and into the lungs and into the brain. But fortunately, the incidence of arterial clots to venous clots is like, you know, 9 to 1, something like that. But remember, as the numerator goes up, the denominator will also go up. And we do not want that denominator, the lower number in the division, we do not want that lower number going up, because then you're getting increasingly close to, you know, clots ending up in the lung or the brain. And then you get a stroke and you're J.R. Richard. Best case, your career is over. And I have some concern that that could be what happened with Danny Farquhar. That's probably not what happened, but it's possible. And what I want to do with this podcast is make people aware of that. That what my understanding of the science says is that if this pattern continues, we are going to see baseball pitchers, primarily at the professional level, but I'm also seeing incidences increase at the college and the high school level. We're going to see baseball pitchers having problems with blood clots and strokes and disability and maybe even death. And whenever I hear that a baseball pitcher has had a stroke or some brain bleed or, God forbid, dies mysteriously, you know, a young athlete dying mysteriously under undisclosed circumstances, I have to ask myself, is this the beginning of it? Is this the beginning of a natural consequence of playing with fire, of creating strokes in baseball pitchers due to mechanical patterns that work by overloading the arm, that boost velocity in baseball pitchers by overloading the arm, by putting baseball pitchers in positions of hyperabduction where the elbow gets too high, where the elbow gets even at or worse above the level of the shoulders, where the elbow gets too far behind the level of the shoulders in a position of scap loading, both of which can lead to that compression, that smushing of the arteries, the veins, the nerves within the shoulder, in and around the shoulder, the upper arm, the axial artery, the axial nerve. Last night I was talking to a guy who had problems with his ulnar artery, which I've never heard of before. All these weird vascular problems in the arms of baseball pitchers. And those are scary, but thank God they're happening in the arm. You know, it's terrible to have vascular problems within your arm, you know, because, you know, blood clots in the arm is, that can cause nerve problems, and I suspect that it can cause healing problems. I have wondered if that is related to all the blister problems and the kind of general healing problems that we're seeing in baseball pitchers, because if you have blood flow problems in the arm, logically that could lead to healing problems within the arm. You know, that could be what happened to Sandy Koufax in part. He had a blood flow problem. So all these vascular problems in the pitching arms of baseball pitchers are scary, but they're actually the best case scenario, because thank God the clots are ending up in the arm and the damage is being done to the arm, which is bad, but it's not as bad as the damage being done in the lungs or the brain. And my concern is that at some point we're going to hear a story of a pitcher, a baseball pitcher, who had a blood clot, who had a stroke, and who, in the best case, but still, God forbid, was permanently disabled as a result of that blood clot. And what's even more terrifying is that, in all likelihood, unless the trend reverses and legitimately reverses, you know, the change isn't just a matter of changing how things are reported, you could end up with a pitcher who, because of these mechanical problems, the high elbow, especially as the arm comes under load and the shoulders start rotating, an elbow that is hyperabducted, an elbow that is hyperadducted, which is behind the plane of the shoulders, that is extremely scap loaded. It's quite possible, and at this point it seems inevitable, that a baseball pitcher is going to die as a result of this mechanical pattern and the overload that it puts on the structures, the arteries, the veins, the nerves of the pitching arm. And yes, while that stuff increases pitching velocity quickly and easily, it wreaks havoc within the structures of the arm, the shoulder, the upper arm, the thoracic outlet region, the scapular region. And God forbid, at some point, we're going to hear about a baseball pitcher who throws hard, whose mechanics are a little funky, who just dies out of the blue from a blood clot. And it's terrifying to think about that, but baseball is playing with fire, and people need to understand that.